tonight. First Timothy chapter 6 tonight. First Timothy chapter 6. And make sure you put a bookmark there because we're going to be coming back to this passage and other verses in this passage as we continue on our series, Questioning Questionable Things. And we started off in the introduction to this. Remember, we're asking our three questions. And we're going to get to those three questions here tonight, and those are the three points of the sermon. But we're even looking at stewardship tonight. God wants us to be faithful stewards. Amen. We talked about faithfulness with the Pollings. Praise God for their faithfulness. It's a hard field, and it's a hard place to be, but God is giving them grace and equipping them to be over there. So praise God for their work, and pray for our other missionaries as well. Make sure that you're keeping to your commitment to pray for the missionaries you signed up for on the list, and so keep them in your prayers. Also, we are working on getting those things emailed to everybody and getting that done so that you can have those prayer letters when they come in. But God wants us to be good stewards, and we see illustrations of this in the Gospels that Jesus gave parables of those that were faithful, one that it doubled and increased, even more than doubled the talents they were given, and then, of course, the one that was the unfaithful steward that buried his talent in the ground and did not invest it. But we're talking about tonight is stewardship in the area. I said, well, what can be questionable about stewardship? Well, last week we looked at ownership in the area of tattoos, and is that biblical or not? And really what they show is ownership. They communicate something. But we're talking about stewardship, especially talking about our money. We're going to be talking about gambling tonight. Is gambling biblical? Is it something a Christian ought to do? You know, sometimes we look at things that absolutely not, Pastor, I know the answer to this. Well, you know what? I've only ever preached on this once in the 12 years I've been here. Almost 12 years I've been here. And you know what? I probably should preach on it more often. You know why? Because I didn't realize how prevalent gambling is. Looked at some statistics. 75% of Americans admit to gambling in some type or form in the last 12 months. This is as of 2021. I was like, whoa, I didn't realize that. You know, you wonder why in the gas station they have the lottery ticket sales everywhere, right? In the Walmart and HEB, they have the lotto ticket machines and, you know, things like that. And why are they everywhere? Because a lot of people involve themselves in that. We're going to get into some statistics tonight. And gambling is the game of chance, playing a game. Right, they call it a game, and betting money, and depending on how you play the game, whether it's poker or whether it's the playing scratch-off lotto ticket or the Powerball or whatever it is. I'll never forget growing up, we had one TV station, and I'll never forget, at 12 noon every day, they would have the little thing come on for like 2 minutes, and they'd draw the lotto numbers for the New York State Lottery. You know, it had a little bubble machine thing, and you know, then the balls dropped down. I always thought it was fun, you know, trying to guess the numbers. You know, I wasn't doing it for money. You know, I thought that was kind of fun to do that. Now, don't look at me like that. You know, I just thought, oh, it's kind of interesting. And never once did I ever get the numbers right. One time I got one number right. But that's why people play, because maybe they'll be the one that gets that number right, and they'll win millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they will recoup their investment, is what they think. But is that really what we ought to be doing as God's people? And so remember the three questions we're asking tonight. And the first one being, can gambling be interpreted as evil? But before we get there, let's get to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's stand together and read verses 6 through 8 together. Stewardship's important. We ought to take stewardship seriously. Amen. Whatever God gives us, we ought to be good stewards of it. But 1 Timothy 6 gives us a lot to think about. Verses 6 and following, down to about verse number 12, we're going to be looking at those verses tonight, but we're only going to read the first three. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and in certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you bless our time together in your word. I pray, help me to be clear, dear Lord, and as we move along, I pray that tonight it would become clear. Perhaps we never even thought about this. I pray that we have a biblical defense of why it is wrong. Dear Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, that you just give us the answer to these questionable things. Maybe we have questions about it, but Lord, you have answers. We thank you for that. We praise you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6, instructions here. What are we to be content with? Food and raiment, lest therewith be content. It doesn't even talk about our bank account in this verse. Whatever our needs are is what is being communicated here. Let us be content with what we have. And gambling is not built on contentment. It is built on the lie that if you do this, you might be lucky enough. You might be that lucky one to where you can live the rest of your life in ease. You won't have to work again. Is that something we ought to be doing? So, even among church people, there's a lot of things that can happen and that maybe are not good. You know, we're going to be looking at some of these things. But even in Baptist churches over the years, you know, it used to be in Southern Baptist churches back in the 50s especially, you know, they'd have a deacon's meeting or a men's meeting, and then they'd have a smoke break. They'd go outside, they'd light up, smoke their cigars, smoke their cigarettes, you know, chew their chewing tobacco, and make sure to do it outside, right? But that was something that they did. Of course, we know that's not something that God would have us do. We're actually going to get into that here in a few weeks, talking about that and talking about are there questionable things that can happen, not just smoking, but with our body, taking care of our body? Should we be doing certain things? But we see in this, there can be things that we get into. And I'll never forget, the church worked up in Indiana. I remember the pastor telling me a story that years before, many years before he was there, but that they had a big debate in the church because they had wanted to buy a brand new, like, shuttle bus, kind of like what we have out there. And they wanted to buy one and use, but then someone said, hey, you know what? I want to buy the church a brand new shuttle bus. They're like, well, praise the Lord. That's wonderful. They bought the shuttle bus and everything. And they were talking to him and said, well, praise the Lord. I mean, you must have come into inheritance or something, because he was just a factory worker who didn't have a lot of money. He goes, oh, I didn't tell you. I won the lottery. And so I wanted to give back to God. But the bus has already been bought and everything. So the pastor debating, really don't want the money from lottery winnings to go toward the church, end up keeping the bus and everything like that. But it was a big, big thing. So is it really that, do people make a big deal out of it, or is it really something we ought to be associated with? So number one, can gambling be interpreted as evil? Well, there's several commands that it violates in Scripture. We're just going to focus on three tonight. If something violates Scripture, it's sin, and we should consider it evil. Amen. So the first area that it violates, and so you can put three subpoints underneath number one, the letter A being, it violates the command to love thy neighbor. Turn over to Mark chapter 12, Mark chapter 12, verse 31. We're going to move through these verses quickly. I'm going to read them. I had to write out my notes tonight because the cloud failed me again. So I had to write out my sermon here so I don't have my verses in front of me. So I'm going to be doing a lot of turning tonight. But Mark 12, of course, we know the account of the two commands that are the most important commands for any Christian. The first, of course, is to love the Lord. We should love God, not because it's a command. We should want to love the Lord. Amen. And the priority ought always to be God first, no matter what. Then we come. Then we're the next ones, right? No. What is it? Because we're always worried that we're not going to be taken care of, that we need to make space for self so that we're taken care of, so that our needs are met. Don't you think God knows about your needs? That's why we love him. He knows all about your needs. But then we're to meet the needs of other people. And you know how God meets your needs? By through himself, but also through other people. Meet your needs as you meet other people's needs. It's amazing. Mark 12, 31, this is a very clear command here. Mark 12, 31, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So what is being talked about here, also down in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, talks about how we ought to treat other people, the golden rule. This is what we call the golden rule, that we treat other people the same way we want to be treated. And why does this, okay, preacher, I'm not following. Why does gambling violate the rule of love thy neighbor? Because if you win, someone else has to lose. So that you are not considering thy neighbor. And this right here, they have given money in and they lost, but you have gained by their loss. Is that really, would you want someone to be profited over money you lost? Is that how we would want to be treated? No. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. That this is dishonest gain at the hand of the poor many times. Also, just by your neighbor. Who's our neighbor? The Pharisees say, well, who's our neighbor? Everybody is. Saved or lost, not just the people in church are your neighbor, not just your neighbors physically, not just your coworkers, not just people you know, but everybody on planet Earth is your neighbor. And we ought to treat everyone with respect. And I don't think, because when you win, others lose. And it's sad. You know, we think it's just an innocent thing. You should see what happens to people when they have a gambling addiction. It's a very addictive type of thing that people get caught up in. It goes against also, the second part of it is, first, it violates the command to love thy neighbor. Second, it goes against our obligation to the poor. Gambling, mainly the lottery, they target low-income people, and a lot of people live under the lie that maybe they can just get out of their situation through one more scratch-off ticket. Some people even, they dedicate a certain amount of their paycheck that they're going to go and they're going to buy a certain number of lottery tickets. And you know what they do sometimes? I've watched people do it in the gas station and they're doing, oh man, I won $200. Man, you know, and they, well, I've won something. I recouped it. But they've spent maybe $600 or $700 so far since the last time they won something. So they really didn't win anything. But that's what they think. And it gets them, oh, I want to do it again. You know, I'm just about to forget about it. Oh, I got $50. I got $200. And I'm just going to keep, maybe I'll hit the big one. The always, the rainbow, the pot of the gold at the end of the rainbow, right? But many spend a lot so that they can be rich. Proverbs 14:31 tells us, is this something that we should participate in, just by way of association. There's other commands here that we're going to get to. But Proverbs 14:31, we're to give to the poor. We're to take care of the poor, not to participate in something that victimizes the poor. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. Who's his maker? God. But he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Do we have mercy on them? Turn over to Isaiah. Chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. Remember also Nehemiah, that the nobles there, they were under occupation. The walls had been destroyed, but what did the princes do? Did they take care of the poor? No, they oppressed them and ruled over them and taxed them to death, literally almost to starvation. Nehemiah had to deal with that, remind them how they're to treat their neighbor. But Isaiah 3, verses 14 and 15, the Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyards, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts, to take advantage of poor people. So when, if you ever, you win the lottery, it was many that were low-income people that trying to maybe get by, that you're winning what they put in. Is that something that we want to be doing? No, absolutely not. And the third aspect here, can this be interpreted as evil? There's many other things, by the way. We could have a whole couple pages of verses. I'm just trying to limit this down a little bit so we can get out on time tonight. We can be here till 9 if you want. No, we're not going to do that. But also, it does not foster a good work ethic. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Let's turn over there. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. We know we should work with our hands. There are a lot of people that they're always searching. They do the bare minimum, but maybe one day they'll get the big one and they're going to be on Easy Street. They're going to be taunting. If they can pay off all their debt, they can move out of the situation they're in. They can take care of everybody. But, you know, but I really don't want to work for it. You know, there's a great satisfaction in work, amen, and doing a job well done, earning something and being able to save for something and get what you need with the money that you earned with your hands. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he what? Eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. You know, they're not minding their business. They're worrying about everybody else's issues. They're not working so that they may support themselves. Then we're over here in 1 Timothy 5. So we're coming back to 1 Timothy 6. working our way around the horn here. Here we go. Chapter 5, verse 8, just over a couple of pages, says this: "But if any provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." And there are those that get involved with gambling as an addiction. And it's not, by the way, it's not just a lottery ticket. You can do it all online now today with playing online poker games. And up in Indiana, it was euchre. Okay, which is a type of card game, very complicated card game. You can play it, but it's but many times they, especially online, they play for money. And you know, we ought to have nothing associated with this. Can I just tell you something? When you ever do anything associated with gambling, you are jeopardizing your testimony as a Christian. Amen. I'll never forget this. I was in college and I was up there at the church, and I was in a great church, great preacher, great pastor, was so encouraged. I heard him at college, went back, moved to Indiana, went to his church, thought the world of him. Then he said, "Hey, why don't you come with us and help watch over the teenagers on the teen trip? You're a college student. I want you to come. Some of the other young adults are coming to help keep an eye on everything and help out. Love to have you come." So we go up to northern Minnesota. And northern Minnesota in June is cold. It's like this cold. at night, and it was kind of rain, but it was really nice and it was pretty. We were in the middle of nowhere, Raccoon Lake out there. We were about an hour on a dirt road away from a gas station. That's how we were out there, no cell service, nothing. And they had a little you know, campground that we went to, and they had a lodge and different things like that. And I'll never forget one night, we were eating in the lodge. There's a restaurant there. We were all eating, and so the pastor gets up and says, "Hey, you know what?" With his assistant pastor and the youth pastor there and a lot of the older, the young adults there, that some of them weren't married, say, "Hey, you know what? You want to play a little game? You know, we're going to play a game and just have some fun." So what are we going to play? We're going to play poker with the preacher. And I was shocked because I wasn't allowed to play poker growing up. Why? Because that's gambling association. My parents didn't want me to think that way. Amen? Right? And they didn't want me to play that game. I played other games. I played rummy, okay? You know I'm a heathen. Yes, I played with cards growing up, and somehow I didn't become a card shark, okay? But those things, sometimes we can get a little off base too far with that. They're cards, okay? They're not of the devil. It's like saying guns kill people. People kill people with guns. Amen. So we got to be a little careful with that. But if you want to stay away from it, maybe you had a problem with it in your past. You should stay away from it. Amen. And not, there's a lot of association there. We're going to get to that here in just a minute. But here, I was sat there shocked. And you know what? The man I thought the world of, and I respected him. I respected him from here to about here. I still respected him, but I didn't have. Then I started looking at other things, and other things happened on that trip. And I found out this man wasn't who he was at church. He was a little different when he was around just other people. Kind of let his hair down, so to speak. Amen. You better be the same person at church as you are every other place. Amen. I pray that no one ever thinks of me that I'm different at church than I'm different at home. Amen. I pray not. But that is my goal, is that of every Christian ought to be. You know, some people, they're afraid if the preacher knows what happens in their house for real. They don't act the same way at church. They would never want the preacher coming by their house. Why? Because they're not the same way. We can have that tendency to have duplicity there. But it doesn't foster a good work ethic. It's a bad testimony. So here it is. Can gambling be interpreted as evil? Yes, it can be. So let's look at number two. What is gambling associated with? Well, there's a very long list, and it's not a good one. We're still here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. One thing associated with is addiction. People get addicted to this. Whenever you see the casino commercials, right, or you see you put on a YouTube video, especially if you're in Oklahoma stopping over, man, you get bombarded with the casino, right? In Indiana, we had advertisements for casinos and all of those things. And you know what they said at the end? If you have an addiction problem, call this number. Great. It's like they talk about medications at the end of the thing. You can die from this thing. It's been known to cause cancer. Wow, great. I want to take that. It's been known to cause epilepsy. It's been known to cause stroke, heart attack, even death. I want to take this medicine. Right? Everything's trying to kill you today. You know, I understand some of it's a disclaimer. Most of it's not going to happen. But you know how I think? It'll just be me. I know it. It's going to be me, right? How many ever think that way? It's going to be me, right? I'd just rather not go there. Okay, good. Brother Eugene, you and I think the same way. All right, because I don't want to be that person, brother. Amen. I know it's just going to be me. My brother's the same kind of way, because every time he's taking certain medicines, the rarest side effects he can get, he gets them. And he goes, I quit, I give up, right? Oh, this isn't going to bother you. This is if everybody takes this pill, everyone can tolerate this whole thing. Nope. But anyway, but addiction. Don't want to get on a rabbit trail here. Also, because of that addiction, they go into bankruptcy. They ruin their families, divorce. And one of the most common ends of this is suicide. Most people, it's crazy, get $35,000 to $92,000 in gambling debt before they seek help. And many commit suicide before they even seek help because they don't believe there's any way out. And they go, what happens? They begin borrowing money from their friends. They begin borrowing money from their family. They begin the temptation to steal from their employers, to steal from friends, to steal from family members. And then eventually, even some people in the midst of that, they'll commit murder to get money to fuel their addiction. It's a terrible thing. Also, one of the main things, especially in these casinos, one of the main things associated with the Strip in Las Vegas is gambling and what? Prostitution. Sexual sin is one of the big things associated with this. You know, you look back in the 30s and 40s, you know what? What happened? Where did gambling take place? You know, in the underbelly, the underworld, right? You know, the smoky place, everyone's smoking cigars, you know, and because it was illegal and there's a good thing for it. But, you know, in Texas, by the way, they're trying to bring casinos to Texas. You know that? There's a big move this year trying to get that introduced. Go to Oklahoma, see what it did for them. Go to Mississippi, see what it did for them. Go to Louisiana, see what it did for them. Go to northern Indiana and southern Indiana, see what it did for them. Nothing good. But it pays for education. Right? That's what they say. We can have education. We don't need casinos. We've got oil. Amen. We don't need all of that. And all those things that go with it. But 1 Timothy 6:9 says this. 1 Timothy 6:9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. By the way, that's the main thing of gambling. Some people, just the thrill of winning, yeah, to be rich. They fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts associated with that, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What is this associated with? Nothing good. Amen. And God always wants us to be associated with good things. We talked about this in the introduction. So what's associated with sin? Sin begets more sin. That brings us to number three. Number three tonight. Am I convinced that gambling pleases God? Does it please God when I go and gamble? Now, this is kind of like last week. Really, once we get past point number one, there's no point in continuing. But these are more three aspects, three different ways you can approach this on three fronts, all of them biblically correct. And so the third aspect, am I convinced that gambling pleases God? So, well, for the first 2 points, preacher, I can definitely say no. But let's just look at this by itself. These are isolated. We'll many times look at a sermon with things build upon another. These 3 points are separate arguments that we can come to. So we're gone on all three fronts here. And we see first, the first aspect, so three subpoints here. Letter A is the area of, we talked about at the beginning, stewardship. Does it please God if I use the money he gives to me to go and buy a lotto ticket? Okay, so it's a good stewardship. Well, let's think about investment. When you put an investment in the bank or you put it in the stock market, you buy a CD or something like that. By the way, when you're buying a CD, that's what you're doing. You're putting it in the stock market. Now, there are types of stock market investment that are gambling, that you're trying to get something for nothing. That's really the aspect of gambling, is trying to get something for nothing. Instead of working for it. But can you invest wisely and grow your money? Absolutely not. Is it wrong to invest in the stock market? No, not absolutely not. It has some risk associated with it. You got to make sure whatever you're investing in is you're being a good steward of what you're given. People say, well, I'm investing this money. One day, you know, I invest $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 a year, and one day I'll be a millionaire. Well, you know what? People sometimes, they play every single day of their life, and they never win. You know why? The odds of winning the Powerball, I mean, you see the big Powerball, $1 billion, right? On average, the odds of you winning the Powerball are 1 in 292 million. On average. And depending how high the jackpot is and more people play, the higher the odds are. All the way up to about 400 to 500 million in one. You're like, wow, man, you know, that could happen. Okay, you are more likely to be hit by lightning. You are more likely to become an astronaut. You're more likely to be an Olympic gold medalist. You're more likely to die in a plane crash. You're more likely to drown in your bathtub, okay, which probably none of us will in our lifetime. I pray not. But you, and those are, I thought it was kind of interesting. To get hit by lightning is only 1 in 1.2 million. Man, that so to win the lottery is 300 to 400 times. We're talking times here less likely than getting hit by lightning. And usually if you get hit by lightning, sometimes you live through it. Some people don't, you know, depends which way the current goes, you know. But still, that's just crazy. That's not good stewardship. That's not being a faithful steward. That's throwing the money away. You have more chance of getting that money back, putting it through a shredder and putting it back together. You have more chance of keeping that money doing that than playing the lottery. Here it is. 50% of Americans play the lottery on a weekly basis. 50%. Do you want to know how much money that casinos make in a two-year span from 2020 to 2022? Casinos made $60 billion. That's just casinos. On average, because the lottery creates, here it is, this is mind-boggling, $50 billion in revenue between all 50 states a year. Usually, most states is between, like I think it was in Florida, it surpassed last year $9 billion just in Florida, $6 billion in New York. We're talking about billion with a B here, not million, billion dollars. That's how many people play. Craziness. Of course, they put it into good use, like funding abortions and things like that, you know, wonderful things. And into education, we got to build the education, you know. Can I just tell you something here, and especially here in Killeen, we're great about building great and shiny, nice new schools that produce students that can't even read. Something's messed up. That is, what state was it, Illinois, that took the requirement off that you had to read to graduate high school? I think it was one of the states did, and the parents are complaining. Crazy. You know, it's craziness. You know, a lot of kids even getting up into my wife's fourth through sixth grade class, some even the teen class, they can't barely read. But we're funding education through the lottery now. Romans 14, I digress. I can go on and on there for a little bit, but we need to move on to get to prayer. Romans 14, verse 12, what does that tell us? Guess what? You're going to stand before God one day and give account for how you use the resources God gave you, how you used your time, how you used your money, how you used all of those things. Romans 14, 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So many times we judge each other. That's what's being talked about, especially in verse 13. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to be judged by God. That's a fearful thing. That should, even as Christian, that should give us pause to think about. We're going to stand before Almighty God. What did you do with what I gave you? That's why Jesus gave that illustration. So the first aspect, does it please God that we're being bad stewards? No, it doesn't please God. Second, gambling is fueled by discontentment. Discontentment. Philippians 4, Paul gave the wonderful recipe, if you will, in the middle of all that he went through. You know, you look at Paul, you're like, man, he was super Christian. No, he just figured out something that we can figure it out. He learned something that we can learn. Be content with what you have. Amen. We're coming. It's November, right? And we have Thanksgiving, right? Wonderful. And we go out the very same day and show how discontented we are with everything we got. Be honest. They're good deals, Pastor. Well, if you really, can I just be honest with you? If you really examine Black Friday deals, most of them aren't that good of a deal. Because do you know retailers do? I'll just give you a little hint. They start marking up those things about 2 months beforehand so you don't notice the price hike, and then they cut them, slash them 75% off when you're really only saving like 20%, maybe 10%, maybe nothing at all. It's a big game, and a lot of people play it. You know, some people treat it like the lottery. I got to go find a good deal, right? Everyone wants a good deal, right? Goodwill. Well, you can't get good. Well, even then, sometimes you don't get good deals at Goodwill anymore. But, you know, those things, you know, you get stuff brand new with the tag on it. I was looking there with my wife, you know, looking for some jeans and stuff. Brand new jeans with tags on them. You know what? Instead of being $40 at the store, $10. Like, man, that's the way to do it. But many times we go through with convenience. But discontentment, Philippians chapter 4. Cyber Monday, you know what? You know, go to Amazon and get a good deal. You know, sometimes you can get a good deal on Amazon. You can. But a lot of the stuff you have to understand. Ever watch those videos about how much that stuff is worth? You know, they're selling on Amazon for $5 that they bought it on Alibaba for 15 cents and they sell it to you for $5. So they just made like 2,000% on you because you just wanted the convenience of having it the next day. And it was cheaper than Walmart. So that gives you an idea how much money Walmart makes. Discontentment. Philippians 4, verses 11 and 12. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. It's a learned behavior, not something natural. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Oh, what do we need to do? We need to be content. 1 Timothy 6:6, we were just over there, let's turn back over there, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Being close to the Lord and being content with what you have, man, you're in a good place. You're in a peaceful place. You're in a joyful place. Amen. There's not things pressing on you. Discontentment brings so much pressure. And that brings us to the third area. Well, God is not pleased with discontentment, is he? He does not. He is not pleased. Look at what happened to Israel when they became discontented. They wanted a king. They rejected God as their ruler. They were discontented with what the administration of Moses, so they made a god of gold, a golden calf. They were discontented with what God was doing for them. They got discontented with the manna and wanted quail. Oh, man, discontentment all the way through. By the way, discontentment never brought them anything good, and it didn't please God. It made God upset and angry. Third is the area of temptation. You know what? Sin always brings forth more sin, and there's a lot of sins associated with gambling. We talked about those already. There can be a temptation there, and we talked about 1 Thessalonians 5:22. In the first sermon, we talked about this. That was the text for it, and you know, what do we do? What do we know that? We know that verse. Let's say it out loud together. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of evil, very good. Okay, let's say that again. Let's have a little more conviction. Okay, we know this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Getting a little bit better, a little bit deeper conviction here. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Right, Halloween included. I know it's past, but here we go. This, we shouldn't be associated with that, those things. 1 Corinthians 5, 15:33. Last verse for tonight. I know I've gone to a lot of different places. But we don't need to be tempted. What do we learn in 1 Timothy 6:10? For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They were tempted with other things, and they included in those things. Well, as long as I'm going down this road, I might as well enjoy it. That's what the devil wants you to think. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, we haven't even talked about debt or those things yet associated with gambling. 1 Corinthians 15:33, not being able to provide. Just as wicked for someone to go out and drink away their paycheck and not be able to feed their family and do all of that. Just as wicked to go and gamble away all your living and not be able to pay your bills and feed your family. It's just as wicked and evil. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You're around evil things, they'll begin to corrupt you. That's why we have to be very careful about our associations and our testimony. If you are around evil things long enough, then it will begin to change your thinking. I understand we can't keep everything out. Amen. I understand. There are some things that we are subjected to. When we go to a store, we hear bad music and things like that. We are subjected to that, but we can abstain from that, right? But however, we're talking about evil communications. We're a willing participant. We're unwillingly participating. We're fellowshipping with the unfruitful works of darkness, as Ephesians 5:8 tells us. We are associating with that on purpose. And guess what? It's going to corrupt you. I can associate with this. I can play with fire. I can associate with this, and I'll be able to control it. No, you won't. You'll be tempted, and you'll fall, and you'll ruin your testimony. Does that please God? No. He wants us to flee temptation, right? He always makes a way of escape. He's not pleased with that. And so tonight, I don't want us to look at people that gamble or are involved in the lottery and all these things, that we look at them like, well, they're just wicked and evil people. Oh, but for the grace of God, there go I. Could be us that are involved in that. Could be us that is addicted to that. You know what? We need to have compassion on those people and show them the love of Christ and show them that there's a better way to live than be a slave to gambling. Because at the end of the day, there are things that enslave us and things that free us. Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of any. And gambling is a power that people bring themselves under. It controls their life, it controls their decisions, it controls their money, and it controls their outlook. And that's not something as Christians we ought to have in control of our lives. Only the Holy Spirit and God should be in control of our life. So let's make sure we're serving the right master and we're having the proper stewardship as God's people. Let's pray. Dearly Father, I thank you, Lord, for tonight, dear Lord. I pray that perhaps maybe some, I don't know, maybe some in earlier time in their life, dear Lord, maybe they were involved in this and they understand how evil it is. But I thank you, Lord, that many in here tonight, they've never even been involved in this, never have a desire to do that. But Lord, I pray that they not be tempted and that they would be aware, dear Lord, for there are things that we've never been involved in, Lord, but that we need to be wary of. And I pray tonight that we would not be tempted with this, that we'd be good stewards and that we teach others to be good stewards. Bless, I pray, this time, bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and eye closed as we rise to our feet tonight, maybe in this area of stewardship, the Lord's challenged your heart. Maybe not, maybe it's, well, I don't gamble, but maybe I'm not being a good steward in other ways. Maybe you're not being a good steward of your money. Maybe you're lusting after things. Maybe you're being covetous. Nothing wrong with going shopping on Black Friday. Nothing wrong with getting a few deals. But if that's what you live for, if that's what makes you get up in the morning because I'm going to go spend some money, I'm going to go get what I want, oh, that we would not be deceived by that. Let's not have covetous hearts, and covetousness comes so easily to us. Remember, covetousness is idolatry. It is raising something higher than it needs to be, raising it above the first commandment to love the Lord thy God, as also raising it above loving thy neighbor. Have we followed that pattern? If we haven't, I pray that we get it right. Maybe we know somebody that's entrapped in gambling, entrapped in these poor stewardship decisions. Let's pray for them tonight.